Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, the coming King. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, Matthew 3, the ministry of John the Baptist. We pray, Lord, ever imprint your holy word upon our hearts, our minds, our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you may know, in the Bible, there are a number of people that have a nickname, that have a special title. For example, you have Peter. His name means the rock. Peter the rock, we call him. You have James and John, whom Jesus nicknamed the sons of thunder. You have Matthew, who is called the tax collector. You have Paul, who calls himself the apostle to the Gentiles. He calls himself the chief of sinners. Then, of course, you have John, whom we call the Baptist. Today, I want to talk about John. Always on the second Sunday in Advent, the focus is on the ministry of John the Baptist. He's a very, very important man. When you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all begin with the ministry of John the Baptist. He's really the first individual we come across in the New Testament. Makes him very important. He's a great example of being a Christian. A great example of being a follower of Jesus. An example for us in Advent, in Epiphany, Lent, or Easter, or Pentecost. Let me say five things about John as we summarize what God did through John. I have five nicknames for John, if you will. Five titles for John. I want to talk about John the Baby, John of the Backwoods, John the Blunt, John the Baptist, and John the Beheaded. Those five things would summarize John. First of all, John the Baby. I suggest John does a lot of teaching and preaching, if you will, before he's even born. As a baby in the womb, he's teaching and preaching, giving us an example. You recall the story, we're not going to read it this Advent, we do it other Advents, of when Mary, the mother of Jesus, comes to visit Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Mary is newly pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Son of God, just a little bitty tiny baby inside of Mary's womb. And she visits Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John the Baptist, who's 6 months old in the womb of Elizabeth. And what happens when Mary visits Elizabeth? It's really not a meeting of Mary and Elizabeth, really. It's a meeting of Jesus, the Son of God, and John the Baptist, his forerunner. And what's John do? He leaps for joy, right? Had that great story, incredible story, of John who leaps at the presence of Jesus. He leaps with joy and the power of the Holy Spirit. He's already unburdened. He's free. He has eternal life. All that is taught when John's a little bitty baby in the womb. He's teaching and preaching. And the lesson for us is if John, as a baby in the womb, would leap for joy at the presence of Jesus, who hasn't even done anything yet. He hasn't lived yet outside of the womb. He hasn't died yet or risen yet. And if John's leaping in freedom of forgiveness, how much more you and I should? It's an obvious lesson. It's a simple lesson of where do we find our real joy? What makes you really happy? And may it be Jesus. May we leap for Jesus. I recall when I was about 7, 8 years old, you know, I have three brothers, and my parents always got us a corporate gift. It was a way to save money. My parents don't have a lot. And so we opened up presents one Christmas Eve, and we got the socks, and we got the other stuff the kids don't want, but you get it for them anyway. And then was going to come our big gift, and the big gift was down in the basement. And guess what the big gift was? The big gift was this pool table that was kind of multi-use. You could make it into a checkers game, too, and air hockey, and maybe put a foosball table on it. The multi-use pool. Who's had one of these multi-use pool tables? And we leaped for joy, us four boys. Wow, incredible gift. We're going to play it all the time. Incredible. We leaped for joy. And guess what? I think it was 2 weeks later, the thing was a piece of junk in the corner of the basement with cobwebs and dust. We broke it, of course. We broke it. And my parents, that same year, every year they got us a Nerf football. Who's had a Nerf football? About a $2 Nerf football. We played with that thing the whole winter out in the Indiana snow. What causes you joy? A toy that breaks in 2 weeks? A game? May our joy be in the boy, Jesus. Not in a game, but the grace of God that causes us to leap. That's a simple lesson from John the baby. Someone asked you, what do you want for Christmas, kids? What are you going to say? Well, don't hesitate. Don't be slow. I don't know. May we all say, what do I want for Christmas? May we all say immediately, I already got the best gift. He's in the manger. He's on a cross. He's in my baptism. He's in the bread and wine. I got Jesus. My cup overflows with joy. Then if someone wants to get you something else, fine. Go at it. Secondly, we can learn from John of the backwoods. Some might call him, I'm sure back in that day, they called him John the Barbarian, if you will. Pastor showed a picture of him. Notice how John's lifestyle is described. Camel's hair, a leather belt, eating locusts and wild honey. You see, John would teach us, immediately in the four Gospels, John would teach us the Christian life following Jesus is not easy. It's not an easy, soft, comfortable, shallow life where you show up for church, Christmas, and Easter, and maybe a few other Sundays when it works out into your calendar, and go on your happy, merry way, and make your money, and have your house, and all your other stuff. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is being opposed to the evils of the world. It's being different from the world. It's denying yourself, taking up your cross, following Christ when you might be all alone, and John appears is quite alone out there in the wilderness all by himself. Everybody thinks he's a nutcase, don't they, probably? Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow Christ. John's a great example of those words of Jesus. He is very relevant because he stands opposed to the great sins of our day. This is why we don't like him a lot. He's kind of like a Scrooge. Oh, John the Baptist. He looks kind of mean and tough. Why isn't he so happy and cheery and have a smile on his face? John stands opposed to greed and materialism. Doesn't have a house. Don't worry about that. His house is heaven. Doesn't have money, possessions. Hardly has anything. Because his true possession is Jesus, the King, who would come and eternal life. He stands opposed to the gluttony and excess of our day. He eats locusts, wild honey, that might be a little bit better. Where's the Egg McMuffin, John? Where's the steak? Where's the fudge? Where's the sugar cookies for John? You see, we're in great contrast because our biggest worry, my worry as a big guy, many of us, our biggest worry of the season is that we'll eat too much. Oh, I got to eat all that fudge. I got to eat all the sugar. I got to eat all that stuff. I'll gain weight. How pathetic we are. Us gluttons living in excess. John stands opposed to that. Opposed to the pride and the self-righteousness of our day where it's all about me. How many presents do I have under the tree? What did you get for me? Did you get me what I really wanted? Where's my name on the gift? Me, my, I. And we teach our kids that garbage too at Christmas time. And John's opposed to that. He deflects the spotlight. He points to Jesus. There's one mightier than I who's to come. Don't look at me, people. There's one mightier than I. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He's speaking to Jesus. Not about John. It's all about Jesus. Go to Jesus. Trust Jesus. He will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. Follow Christ. Look to Christ. John's a humble man, ever pointing to Jesus. He makes us squirm. Makes me squirm. I don't like to preach about him necessarily either. Where's the happy, nice John? If it's intended to make us squirm, let it be. It's called the law. We need it. Right along with that, he is John the blunt. I might call him John the blatantly blunt. Note his method of dealing with people. He is direct. He is confrontational. He is in your face. He doesn't beat around the bush. He is blunt. Notice how he welcomes people that come out to the wilderness. He doesn't say, welcome everybody, good morning. Put on the happy face. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, that's a fine way to welcome people, certainly. But what's how John welcomed people? You brood of vipers. His first words, you brood of vipers. If Pastor would have welcomed you that way today, you brood of vipers, I'm happy, he would have probably laughed. Oh my, what's Pastor saying? His direct, blunt method is a wake-up call. Wake up. It's a reality check. Realize how serious Christmas is. It's heaven or hell. Salvation, condemnation. Which way are you going? The Son of God comes. It's the Son of God, the way, the truth, the life. What's your relationship with Him? Do you believe in Him? Do you trust Him or not? You're going to go to heaven, you're going to go to hell. What about you? It's direct and blunt to wake us up a reality check. The devil has done such a good, our world has done such a good job of making this season so lighthearted, so cheery, happy holidays. Go shop, go to your Christmas party and eat some more, and the next party and eat some more. Fill up your calendar, all these wonderful, rosy, lighthearted things. And that all has its place in moderation, certainly. But John says, what about your relationship to God, friend? We worry so much about our relationship to other people. Should I get him a gift? Her a gift? Will I offend them if I don't get them a gift? What about all these other people that I got to get gifts for? Don't worry about that. Worry about your relationship to your God. And repent of your sin. Realize your need for him. Without him, you're nothing. Without him, you're burned up the unquenchable fire. And hold on to your Jesus with all your faith and all your might. Grab him with your ears. Grab him with your mouth and never let go. John doesn't say ho, ho, ho. John says low, low, low. On your knees, Christian. Repent. Confess your sins. Then, indeed, his main title is John the Baptist, the fourth name. John did baptize. His main ministry was baptizing. He is John the Baptist. John's not all law. He is a heavy dose of full strength in your face law. But even more so, he is a man of gospel, a minister of the gospel. For he baptizes for the forgiveness of sins. As Pastor mentioned in the children's message. John preaches, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight the path. Knock down the mountains. Fill in the valleys. Make straight the way. But John does not give the people 25 things to do to get ready for Jesus. Because we can't do it. John baptizes to prepare the way. Because God must prepare his own way. We can't prepare his way. We can't take away sin. We can't clean up our life. Try and try and try. You'll still sin the whole next week. God comes and washes the dirty child. God cleanses. God makes straight the path by giving us faith in the Holy Spirit. God does all the work. Reminds me of when I lived in college. I went to college up in Chicago. And needless to say, my room was a pigsty. Anne, who I dated, would not even come to my room because it smelled so bad, looked so bad. We had to date up in her room. Okay? And so my mom or dad would come occasionally to Chicago, or my sister would come, and they would hardly even say, hi, Paul, welcome, give me a hug and kiss. Mom went in with a disgust, you live like a pig, I didn't raise my son to be a pig, and got all the cleaning stuff out and cleaned up my room and made the bed and everything else. How can you live that way, you pig? And then we sat down and talked. She, in a way, prepared her own way, because I was too lazy to do it. She prepared her own way to come. And our God so much more in the waters of baptism. Someone calculated the most boring day of the last century. They fed a computer millions of facts to determine the most boring day of the last 100 years, say. And whatever day didn't have much happening in the world was the most boring day. This must be a really boring person who had time to do such a boring thing. But April the 11th, 1954, was supposedly the most boring day. I hope no one was born that day, okay? That would be bad, wouldn't it? April 11th, 1954, most boring day. There's a lot of boring days. We're bored people. That's why we got to watch football and go to bowl games and all the other nonsense, because we're bored. Let me talk about the most blessed day. The most blessed day in your life. Don't have to feed a computer a million items to figure that out. It's called the day of your baptism. most blessed day in your life. I was 2 weeks old, wasn't conscious of it. That didn't matter. It's the day I was born again by the power of the Spirit. Sins washed away, the mountain of sin taken away, the valley of despair filled with faith in the Holy Spirit. God gave me faith and gave me the Spirit. He prepared His own way to come and live with me. Paul Buscher, most blessed day of my life. I am baptized. Say it with me. I am baptized. As I said, never say I was baptized. It's not a past event that's over. I am baptized. It's present power and forgiveness and grace today. And then to finish up, there's John the Beheaded. Next Sunday, we read of John in jail. And John's a bit discouraged. This great servant, surely God will give him a long life and riches and money and everything else, right? Wrong. John, if you will, becomes the first martyr of the New Testament. Not necessarily Stephen. It's really John the Baptist. He is the voice of one crying. I suggest his loudest cry is when he gets his head cut off. His loudest voice is when his voice is silent. For he dies for his Lord. He leaves us the great lesson of persevering in the faith when things don't work out and you suffer. And you die in jail getting your head cut off. Keep the faith. Persevere in the faith. Hold on to Jesus. John's greatest preaching and witness is that he dies for Christ, the first martyr. That's his great witness to us. To persevere to the end no matter what. John prepares the way for Jesus by dying for Jesus, which foreshadows the death of Jesus. He prepares the way by his death because we too will die. We must die to live. Bear the cross to wear the crown. John teaches us that. Illustration to conclude. You know, when do you focus most of your attention on a gift? When it's wrapped or unwrapped? You give most of your attention to a gift when it's unwrapped. When it's wrapped, you just see the wrapping paper and you wonder what's in it. Maybe you don't know. When it's unwrapped, the wrapping paper is ripped away. Ah, the gift. Who cares about the paper? Ah, the gift. I suggest those presents you have wrapped up are a model of our relationship to God. Jesus is the gift that lies within us as Christians. He's the treasure in us. We're baptized. The kingdom has come. He lives in us. But we, our lives, our flesh, we are the wrapping paper around Him. And people sometimes by looking at us can't tell what's in us. Who lives in you? What do you believe? Because it's all about us all the time. We're the wrapping, ugly wrapping paper around Jesus. So God's purpose is to get rid of the wrapping paper. I want the gift to shine through you, the light to shine. I got to get rid of the paper. And that's called suffering. When we suffer, Lord knows we got a lot of people with cancer. God bless you. Hurting people, dying people. God's taking away the wrapping paper. It hurts. But it's so that the gift of Jesus may show through us. That's what happens to John. His flesh ripped away, his head cut off, that Christ may show through his life. May that same thing be said of you and I as we suffer and as we die in Christ. May people say when you die, that was a Christian. Praise be to Jesus for their life. Today we thank and praise God for John. John the baby. John of the backwoods. John the blunt. John the Baptist. John the beheaded. Praise be to God for all he did through his servant John. Amen. Please stand.